Hello, and welcome to another Nine Circles audio thing. As always, I'm your host, Buke, and this time I am joined by the doom band Majestic Downfall. And I am joined by two members of Majestic Downfall, the bassist and vocalist, Jacobo. Jacobo, how are you today, sir?
Hey there, all good on this side. Thanks for inviting us.
Good to hear, my friend. And Ali, the guitarist, how are you today, sir?
Hey, I'm incredible. Well, thanks for letting me be here.
It's a pleasure to expose you guys to listeners and readers of Nine Circles. We are talking on the eve, maybe a month and a half away of your guys' sixth album, Aorta, about to release. And I tell you what, I took my dog for a walk today, and we went for a little farther walk than I had planned because I've been spinning the promo. And first off, the track that's out there now, the first single, Roberta, gentlemen, you guys are setting you up for success here. I'm telling you what, each album, the recording quality, the production, what you guys do as a band is better and better and better. I found you guys first off when you guys released your put the list here. I know the album cover. I just want to get the title really correct for you. I found you guys when you released your When Dead album.
Okay.
So that's when you came on my radar. And then I followed you guys through Waters. But now this one, holy crap, what a release. So Roberto, I got to start with you since this was your passion project when you started. I know, you know, it's been a crazy world and stuff like that. Fill us in on how things have been in your world and the Majestic Downfall world in this COVID pandemic world that we've been living in.
It's been crazy, really.
Yeah. You know, for those who don't know you guys are in Latin America, in Mexico.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So just it's really cool because I interviewed a band from Iceland a couple months ago. I did a band from Netherlands, guys from Sweden. Now I got you guys. I love all the different artists from around the world, all joined by metal. So I'm sorry about that, Roberto. Go ahead. Just trying to get the listeners to know where you guys are from.
Yeah, I am from Querétaro, Mexico. And the other members, including Ali, they're from León, Mexico. It's a two-hour drive. It's a two-hour drive. And I mean, it's not really bad. So in the end, it's like they get all when we play live and shit. It's pretty cool that they get everything together. I work on my side. We just get together, rehearse once or even twice the set, and we're good to go. You know, and wow. It's really worked. It's really worked when the band started in 2006. It was never meant to be a live band, really. It was just to get the feeling of 90s doom death,
yeah,
like, out of the way, like the Peace Build 3 and bands like Phlebotomized and Celestial Season, and you know, like it wasn't done that much then, and the idea was just to release music. And in 2015, when you mentioned, after releasing the When Dead album, Poncho, the drummer, it's always Poncho's fault, you know, when things happen. He's like, let's do it live. And I am like, no, wait, I'm not sure really, you know. And he convinces me, and we do a tour with that album, with the When Dead album. We tour in Europe in 2016. Ali was not yet in the band.
He wasn't there.
Yeah, he wasn't there with us.
If you missed your only shot going to Europe, I hope you didn't join too late.
And we almost had it last year, Ali.
Yeah, we almost. COVID screwed up everything.
Yeah, it actually does.
But, you know, Roberto, interesting thing before we circle back to that. What I love Doom for me, I know like a lot of the lyrics, a lot of people can't understand because, you know, they're really heartfelt, you know, sad lyrics, a lot of them. But for me, like how a lot of people here in the States, they love putting on like funk music, and that's like puts them in an upbeat mood. I love doom music. I love it. I was kind of late to the metal scene. I'm 38 right now. I got in the early 2000s, 99 to be exact. So I was kind of young. So when you decided to start this up in 06, what did you think was exactly missing? Had doom gone stale? Was the releases just not coming out? Was it predictable?
I think it was a bit predictable. I think songwriting was not as interesting and experimental as it was before. And the most important thing, I feel the music was not as heartfelt as it was in the 90s. So the idea was to recapture that feeling and make it today with all those old influences. Mm-hmm. It has changed over time with the addition, for example, of Ali, with the Alicia, when the other guitar player joined, because they've brought new influences to the band. But the core is still the same, to play slow, heartfelt music, you know.
Is Ali, I gotta go to you here. Were you a doom fan yourself, or just a metal fan and all the genres before you got invited to join?
Yeah, actually, I'm still learning about doom music.
Okay,
you know,
that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm actually more in the line of progressive rock music, progressive metal music. And well, in the beginning, of course, there were some doubts about me as a member of Majestic Downfall due to the fact that I play more, you know, even classical, technical music.
Huh? Yeah.
But in the end, it was interesting because Poncho, the drummer, he suggested me that. Yeah, it's always that guy.
Again, it's him again.
Yeah, damn drummers. So we made Jacobo say, "Okay, let's make a try. We have nothing to lose," and we made some rehearsals. And we have one concert, let's say a month, and we made this rehearsal, and Jaco at the first play the show, three songs, the full show, and he said, "Okay, perfect, it sounds great, so let's drink." And that was, you know, very simple for me to get in the band, even if I got other influences.
Yeah,
It's funny that, for example, the other guitar player, Poncho, and me, we don't really live from music. You know, we love it, we do it, it's part of our life. But the only real professional musician in the band is Ali.
Yeah, you're right.
He really lives from music, from composing music.
Yeah.
He has many projects. He's a guitar teacher. He's involved in everything surrounding music.
Which?
And he plays 10 times better than the three of us. I mean, he has all the technique, and we're not as technical or anything. And it's been very interesting.
Which is really interesting, Ali, because, you know, I have talked to other members who play other genres of metal, and they have flat out said they tried doom, but they didn't stick with it because, and this is no disrespect to you guys as a band, but it's boring. It doesn't challenge them. So what is it about here though that excites you? Is it something different than playing super technical? Is it the emotion involved?
Yeah, you know, the music is not about how many notes you play in 1 second, you know? Mm-hmm. Music is about to feel comfortable and play with your friends and have a good moment. And of course, when you're playing live, you see this connection between the people and the band, and you can get that that feeling in any genre. You know, I'm a big fan music, not any genre okay. musical genre fan. Yeah. No?
So you just like, you just a fan of music. Doesn't make a difference what genre. You just like music.
Yeah, exactly. As Jacobo say, I play for, I've been making concerts for orchestra with classics of rock, classic rock with symphonic orchestra. And, you know, this connection is the same thing. You know, I don't care about the genre. But, well, I have my favorite styles, of course.
So I have to go here because I'm always fascinated how people got into music and playing and stuff. I don't have the broadest knowledge of metal bands from Latin America. I'm going to butcher it because my Spanish is horrible. Brujilla, is that, did I say that correctly?
Brujería.
Yeah, Brujería. Yes, there you go. See how I said that. They are about the one of the few Latin metal bands that I know. But I know that they are very one of the most extreme ones. What were your guys' roots to getting into metal growing up? Were they the European bands? Were they American bands? Were they Latin American metal bands?
I don't know if you want to start, Ali.
Yeah.
Well, in my case, I will say that European bands and American bands, I could say that.
Mm-hmm.
Not Mexican, not Latin American bands.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I think, mostly, you know, big bands like Skid Row and, you know, I used to Bon Jovi, Def Leppard.
Oh, yep.
Metallica, everything that in the 80s. Then I remember I listened to Helloween and King Diamond and I was like, wow, what is this? And then the next thing was Sepultura in the Beneath in 1988.
Aren't those first couple of Sepultura albums just landmarks? Oh,
my God. Yeah.
They're awesome. I think up until Arise, they're amazing, but Arise was not what I was expecting from Sepultura. I think they never topped Beneath the Remains.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, but it was really fun because in Mexico we have this music market. It's huge. It's called El Chopo.
Okay.
So you would go there, and I'm not lying to you. There are 300 little shops that they put every Saturday, and you would have them selling music. And there's a lot of pirate music being sold in Latin America, and Mexico is no exception. So it would be fun because you would buy, say, the Sepultura Beneath the Remains tape. But it lasted, I don't know, 45 minutes. And the next 15 minutes, you would have a filler of another band that you wouldn't know which band was it until you heard it. And they wrote the extra tracks, like they would put Obituary, Cause of Death. So you would buy the Sepultura album, but you would hear the Obituary tracks. So next Saturday, you would go and buy the Obituary tape. And the filler was Pestilence, you know?
Yeah.
So you would go from there to there to there, and then before you know it, you're in this huge web of bands, and it's a vice, you know.
That is cool. Okay. So why out of all the different genres, why did you decide in 06 when you were starting bands? Why did you decide, this is what I want to start kind of putting my foothold in?
For me, the music that has touched me the most is doom metal since the 90s, 92, 93 with CDs like Gothic from Paradise Lost and
That was my intro to them too.
Those type of bands really marked me. And I had a band, actually. We started playing thrashcore, and we finished in playing a type of gothic doom metal stuff. It was called Ars Antiqua, and we played till 2001. And then I stopped playing, and in 2006, I felt the urge to go back to the... Ars Antiqua was more experimental, and I always had the feel of having a 100% doom band. And that's when in 2006 that I was actually living in Dallas. I was working there. I worked there for 2 years. I remember going in a guitar center and finding this really cheap interface with Pro Tools. And I said, fuck, I can try to do all on my own. So I made my little home studio, which I still have the same one. I haven't updated any software. It's still the 2006 machine with the 2006 Pro Tools. I haven't changed anything.
Sounds like the Black Metal Special.
Yeah, exactly. And so it sounds. Yeah, that was the feeling to bring.
Wow.
What for me is the most deep music genre. You know,
there is something about the vocals and the singing in doom metal, more so than any other genre in metal, that the emotion comes through. Like, you listen, I like death metal is probably what I go to, this and doom. But death metal just sounds like just aggression, you know, just harsh vocals. But when you hear your emotional screams on tracks that sound like, you know, from the heart, you don't get that. And that's what I love about it. You don't get that in any other genre of metal. That's what I love. Does it take it out of you after a set or a practice session or a recording to let it out like you do?
Yeah. Me personally, I feel, well, first of all, I feel exhausted.
Yeah.
Because I think live, we're a really intense band. Even if it's slow, it's very intense and we give 100%. So when the show is over, yeah, it's like a catharsis, you know, like it's a catharsis process to do a live show and to finish. It's like, I can't find the word. Very, when you feel very happy.
You feel like you have like a weight off your shoulders, right?
Not a weight. It's very satisfying, okay. You know, that you did a good show and you gave everything. But yeah, we are exhausted, really exhausted, wet. I don't know. It's a really cool feeling, you know, and
yeah,
grabbing a beer afterwards is amazing too.
Now, Ali, was this your first experience in a band?
In a band? Did you mean in a?
Yes, in just a band in general.
Oh no, I've been playing since I was 8 years old, you know, okay. And in a band since I was 15 years old. I got my first festivals in progressive scene, and I mean 20 years ago. So when I came to this band, I have experience enough to be in some stages and stages in general.
I got you. So I have to ask. We talk about, you know, how exhausting it is playing a show and stuff like that. Back in, what's it, 2018, you guys did the 70 Tons tour show. I have a friend in another band who's gone a couple of years, and it sounds like it's a wild time. How was your guys' experience on that?
I wasn't there. Oh, shit, I wasn't there.
Another one you missed.
Yeah.
Another one. I missed you roughly 10,000. I'm sorry. And there's another story about that, because...
Drummer again?
Yeah, there is more about that, because in 2020, I think we were they talked with us. I don't remember, Jaco, to be in the 70,000 of 2020 again.
Yeah.
And I couldn't make it because I was my visa.
Yeah.
Was it's supposed to be renewed? How do you say?
It had expired, or it was going to.
Expired, and the process took months, and we couldn't make it
The same thing happens every year at Maryland Death Fest. Like a day or two before it starts, inevitably three or four bands cancel because of visa issues. Always creep up and happen. So, Jacobo, since you were there, how was the experience on it?
It was amazing. I had been there. I'm a festival fan, so I had been there also in three times prior. So when getting invited to play there, it was really amazing, because it's a completely different experience. It's one of the top festivals in the world. So being able to play there and being invited, it's really satisfying. But the best part of all is that you're just, you know, going from floor to floor, listening to bands you have for stages. You can do all these types of stuff and be in the water pool and you know, drink here or the karaoke at 5 a.m. It never sleeps. So it's really way different than any other festival in the world. The organization was excellent, really, really excellent. And hopefully we get to play there in the future, you know? It's one of a kind. I mean, you can play a lot of festivals, and many of them, the organization and the way they work can be very similar. But you can't compare any of that with being in a boat, you know?
We were talking beforehand about you guys' experience playing Maryland Death Fest, which is right in my backyard. What do you guys do if you're not having to go to another show right away? Do you find yourselves like a fan yourself after your set's over? Do you grab a drink and you're watching the other bands playing at these festivals?
I love to watch bands. Me personally, I love to watch bands. If you go to a festival, part of the experience is to see the other bands and stuff. The only thing where I personally don't go or see other bands or anything is maybe you're in somewhere where you haven't been and you've always wanted to be, you know. Maybe you are in, I don't know, you're in Hamburg and
you
want to get to know the city you'll say, okay, I'll miss the first part of the day and I get make some sightseeing, and it's not like it's in the backyard, Hamburg, you know?
Yeah.
So
because you're like, hey, am I ever going to get back here again?
Part. And I'm going to tell you something. When you're in festivals, I personally like to see the bands. But when you're on tour, after, I don't know, like 2 weeks or so, it gets to a point where you don't want to be in the venue, you know, because you've been in the band the whole fucking day.
Yeah.
You're in the venue, you're carrying all this stuff. So the least you want to be, I don't know, having a steak somewhere, and a beer, watching people walk by and seeing monuments. And it's a bit different when you're on tour. You get a little bit more tired of.
Now, I have to ask, since you have, you know, you have a couple continents under your belt, there's very few bands that can say they've been, you know, North America, South America, Europe and stuff like this. My favorite band is Opeth. I'm using Opeth as a reference because I've seen them 40 some times. Well, the last time I saw Opeth was back in February before the pandemic really kicked off and things were shut down. Michael had said that American fans are very, you know, rowdy, loud, boisterous, fun to play from, where European fans are very reserved, quiet. They're not yelling stuff between songs. So in your experience of touring now for a number of years and playing live shows, How are fans maybe back home in Mexico to up in the States to maybe over in Europe? Are there vast differences to playing live shows everywhere? Or are metal, at their heart, are metal fans metal fans when it comes to a live show? You can say, please let it out. If you want to say, hey, you Americans are assholes, say it.
not that way. I'm thinking about that.
Okay. Because like I know here, like seeing Opeth, I know it's like the pet peeve of the band, but the fans don't shut the hell up yelling songs between every single fucking set.
That's awesome. Yeah.
They're yelling, hey, play this, play Freebird, play this, play that. It's like, oh my God, just calm down for a second.
I think that the Europeans, they are way calmer.
Yeah.
They really go and stand there and listen to the music. The song finishes and they go like, yeah. I mean, you hear the roar and everything, yeah. But it's like, okay, 5 second roar. Okay. On to the next one, you know, more organized. And the US people, we've only had 3 shows, which have been 70 Tons, Married on Death Fest. And we did a headlining show in New York. And I think the American fans are in between Europe and Latin America, because if you come to Latin America, that's a fucking mess. You know, everybody's shouting. We have a fame of being the most rowdy crowd in the world. And so, yeah, it's they're very different. But on the other side, it's funny because what I really like about the US and Europe is that the fans really support the bands. They don't only go to see the show, but they buy the t-shirt and they buy the CDs, the albums. And unfortunately, here in Latin America, it's you don't do as well merch-wise, you know? I get really? It that it has to do with the economics of the country. Okay. And it does. So it's more sustainable sometimes to do a tour in Europe than because you get a for merch sales mm-hmm. than doing one in Latin America, for example, you know?
No.
But
yeah, totally.
Yeah, but I mean it is what it is, and we love Latin American crowds. We love also the US crowds. And even the European crowds, even if they are so calm, that they have something that they listen to the music like I don't think the others do.
Mm-hmm. Now, interesting thing there about the Mexican crowds, that this is something that I know a lot of bands, European bands, can come here and they can do a whole U.S. tour, you know, East Coast to West Coast and stop at a bunch of cities. This is me on the outside looking in, and I have heard a lot of stuff about like cartel violence in some cities and stuff like that. Where I'm going with this is, does it make, if you guys wanted to pack up and do like a Mexican tour, is that something that you guys have to be cognizant of, or is it something that the papers have blown up that's really not that much of an issue, that if you guys wanted to do a country ride tour, you guys could really do it and make it pretty successful, stopping at a bunch of different places throughout Mexico? Or does the violence in the country, you guys would have to not go to some parts of it?
Hard to say, but the thing is that you have to be very careful on the roads.
That's what I was getting with, because I've heard of, you know, them stopping people on the roads and stuff like that, shaking them down for money and property.
Yeah, it happens all the time. And for me, I have some friends that play in, you know, different bands, mm-hmm. and they have suffered a robbery of all their equipment, even the biggest bands like Café Tacuba. It's one of that band that was, they you know, they were robbed by yeah. some people on the road and on the night. So the recommendation is not to drive on the night or late.
Travel during the day.
Yeah. All what you have to do on the road is on the day. Yeah.
And the city is also like, I mean, where we live, that it's in the center of Mexico, we can go pretty much everywhere for a show. And it's not that, now it's some places can be a bit tricky. But in other places, it's like they invite you and you will say, you know, I there's no way I can go there, you know. Or the first question is how safe it is to be there, you know.
Which so, you know what, I'm not trying to be, you know, point fingers or be rude with these questions. It's just, it's a valid question because I hear bands here in the States that they park their trailer outside somewhere and it gets broken into.
Yeah.
And that's not having to worry about people on the road stopping you and robbing you and stealing you of, you know.
No, in Mexico, you have to be careful of that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So it's just something that I'm curious at. If you guys were to do a tour, let's say COVID wasn't a thing, would it be more likely to like coming up to the States or European tour before maybe trying to do a Mexican tour? Or would you stay within your local area?
Well, I think that more than the difference between a Mexican tour and a US European tour is that a Mexican tour, maybe you can do these weekend 2-3 shows, and the next weekend you do 2-3 shows. So you have the breakups, you know. So I mean, it's and maybe for the Waters of Fate album, if I'm not mistaken, we may have done maybe 30-35 shows in Mexico. And but for example, if we go to Europe or to the US, it's like you play from Monday to Sunday, you know, and there's no rest and.
Yep.
And so I think that's the difference. And we had actually we were going to play last year at Doom Metal Festival in Holland. We were already there, and we had another festival 10 days later in Austria. So we were going to travel Europe playing little venues, and I think that our scene. It's more in Europe than in the US, but
I would say so.
Yeah, but funnily enough, it has started to open a lot in the States. So we are really satisfied with that, and that's awesome. I mean, hopefully we can get to do a States road trip soon. And it's also harder the States because distances are wider.
Yes,
it's a huge country, and in Europe you travel 2 hours and you're in another country. You know,
yeah.
So that's also
here you travel to. Yeah, you were living in Dallas. I've never been to Texas, but you can travel 10 hours and still not even leave Texas.
Yeah. Exactly. So that for a show logistics and a tour logistics.
Yeah.
Makes it a bit more complicated, right?
So I have to ask you, we talk about complications and stuff. How are you guys able to navigate the pandemic the past year? You guys all been able to stay safe, most importantly?
Jacob?
Yeah, me on my side, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been pretty much working from home.
Good. Because it's a scary time because I have artery immune disorder. I have heart failure from it. So I was locked away like a troll hiding under a bridge.
You got vaccine already?
I do. I finally do, yes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, here the vaccine thing is still not, it's not first world here, so there's no first world vaccine.
Yeah.
I mean, in times, I mean. But me on my side, I mean, it's been hard. I have 3 daughters, so being locked at home, all the
I have a six-year-old little girl myself. I know.
It's crazy, you know. And from that part, it's been bad. But family-wise, my parents, the people I care about, no deaths, only good. Like maybe 1 or 2 infected. Our drummer, COVID, but nothing really happened. And but I think it could have been worse, maybe, you know.
Yeah. And you?
I will say it was I was safe. I was with COVID on the beginning. I mean June, and it was okay. You know, might have been in bed all the time and things like that. And but I will say that in general, this was a year very productive. You know, I mean, I record 4 albums for 4 different bands during the year. Yeah, it was very productive. I know. That because some people call me, hey, can you record my album? And I say, oh, okay, yeah, cool. I'm at home, so I have a lot of time to do this. Yeah, so for me it was a little bit productive. I think for Majestic Downfall it was very productive. You know, this is the result of a pandemic year. But in general, it was... Well, safe, yeah.
So, Jacobo, let me go back to this to kick this off. When did you guys start to settle down and work on Aorta? Was this something that you now locked at home, working from home? You had a bunch of time on your hands and, hey, guys, let's bang this out? Or
the way the compositions have been working in the last 2 albums is I do all the... the bass.
Yeah.
All the mostly all the riffs and all the structure of the songs. And then I send them to the other guitar player, to Güero. And he comes with some ideas. And then we send them to Ali.
To Poncho first.
For him to learn them.
Yeah, I'm the last part of the...
And then Ali is the last part of the puzzle where we send him also for his arrangements and solos. But that's the process. So, for example, for this album, the pandemic was very helpful in order to get the stuff recorded and finished. But the process really started middle of 2019, I think.
Okay.
That's when the song started to, you know, to come alive and composition to take place, and I started playing with some ideas, and maybe in I think in February I started sending the guys the music, and from there it was going to be like a 50-minute album. And as you said, when walking your dog, you had to walk 20 minutes more with the 70-minute album.
You know what? There are a lot of people, and I'm sure you're aware of this. Maybe they're probably not listening to Doom. A lot of people don't like live, sorry, not live. A lot of people don't like longer song structure. But for me, I guess that's why I'm such an Opeth fan. I love the journey that it takes. And I love how the song is so long that every time you listen, you're like, hold on, you're like, whoa, I just now heard that for the first time. And it's so long that every time, like its own little story. I that's what I love about it. Is that why you like writing long songs? Because I couldn't even write a 5-second song.
Not really. I think the not having any taboos and not having anything and playing slow gives you that opportunity to make these really, really long songs. But I wouldn't say we do long songs for the sake of doing long songs. I think as you mentioned,
that's a great point.
The real price of doing long songs is that they take you from all states of minds and all kinds of feelings in one song, you know. So I see the music of Majestic Downfall. I think there are many types of Doom, and even if our songs are very long, I think they are very dynamic. They have a lot of changes in them, and I see the soundtrack music played Doom metal style. Actually, it's like you have all these ambiences that go from one thing to the other to the next one, and when one of the previous ambiences or rhythms comes back, it's almost never played again. It's done a bit differently with something, so each time it reveals something new, you know.
How do you see yourself from A Bird's Departure, for example? track one off of the first bass. Yeah, the demo, all the way back to 2007. How do you see yourself, where you were mentally writing music, where you were, of course, as an upstart project? What have you learned in 2007 to where you're at now? Or what's...
Because
like, I look here, I see eight minutes, An Ocean in Fears is 7:21, A Tear of Understanding, 7:37.
Yeah,
What was it that happened? What was the growth?
Yeah, I think the will to do things differently, actually. And I think that every album is different. At that time, it was more about doing tribute to something.
Can you go back and listen to those early songs?
Yeah.
Does it pain you?
I hate the production. It sounds like shit.
Okay.
And I did it with a fucking drum machine. I hate drum machines, but that's what I could do.
Okay, well, don't say that too loudly, but hey, but when you use a drum machine, own it.
True. But I think those songs are great, really. I mean, if you take the production side out, I think they're really great songs, but they're just in the core, they're Majestic Downfall, and some of those ideas can still be heard today in today's music, and that's very important. But I think every album is different, and every time the band is more experimental and more open to new stuff. So the song turned out 20 minutes because it just did, you know, not because we said, let's do a 20-minute song. We have talked about doing a one-song album.
Get out of here, Bell Witch. Yes.
The thing is, if it's a one-song album, we don't know if it will last 30 minutes or it's a double CD, you know?
You should see it. My fiance, I put on Mirror Reaper and I put the vinyl on. I was getting to like the side C, and I'm like, she's like, is this song ever? I'm like, no, babe. It gets on the third and fourth sides. It keeps on going.
Yeah. But like, but, okay, Jethro told, you know.
So, Allie, from your experience, of course you had to go back and listen to when you were joining the band. What then, if fast forward to 2021, what is the band now that wasn't there in the early sound? Or maybe Jacob, you could answer it. But what is the sound now that's been added in that wasn't there, that took a couple albums to come out?
Talking about the albums of Majestic Downfall, I mean, I don't know. Well, the production is new.
Production is, you guys really ramped it up on this one too.
Yeah, but I think now the things are more like conscience, and you have more stories. I see the songs as a story to tell, and that stories have been like renewed. Like, I don't know how to say this, but they are more deep. I think the stories are more deep, so you have a lot to explore that, and that's
perspective.
Think that are the things that have changed over these years with the band. Of course, so the guitar solos are better now.
Yeah, they are better now. I cannot solo. I am going to quote Ali on this one. I remember he's right. The last two albums, even if they're not technical and they're not, you know, geeky in any way or anything.
Oh, I love that term. Oh, that's awesome. I love that. Okay.
They are progressive in their own, you know? They have a progressive music aspect that experiments with new stuff, and it's not your traditional structure of music. You know?
Yeah.
So I think that has changed a lot from the beginning to now, even if you maintain principal ideas, but I don't give a fuck if it goes or if it doesn't go. If it sounds good, it's good to go.
When you sit down to write the lyrics, are these coming from a place inside you? Are you trying to tell a story with your lyrics? Are these personal for you? Are these life stories? Are these where the lyrics come?
I want to listen to this.
I hate writing lyrics. I fucking hate it. It's the last thing I do, and it's a fucking pain, but I have to do it, you know?
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I'm going to say something also. When we play live and also recording albums, a lot of times I don't even sing the lyrics, because what really gets to me is the shout and the composition. I see the voice as an instrument, not as a voice. So I don't give a shit if I'm singing what I wrote. I just...
Okay, so you know what then, Ali? Next time you guys are playing the show, just be like, yeah, I decided to play a D instead of a B, whatever.
I will be out of tune.
When we are playing, you see the people confused because they are saying like, hey, he fuck up. He fuck up, right?
But you know what, though? There is that one fan somewhere, though, who knows the fucking lyrics in his
life. Exactly.
He just didn't sing it. He just said something.
Always.
Yeah.
We are like that.
What's happening here?
Yeah, we always do when our... Yeah, yeah. And the theme of the lyrics, I never get too deep into...
Yeah, neither do I. I'm too much of a caveman to get into
lyrics. It's okay. No, that's fine. But just to make it simple, they're personal
issues. Can your daughters... listen to your music? Do they like it?
Actually, Roberta is one of my daughters.
Okay.
Federica, it's another song, and it's another of my daughters. And Renata from The Split with the Australian band The Slow Death is another one.
Oh, man, what a way to... Okay. Okay. Yeah.
My wife is the one that goes like, where's my song?
Yeah. And we, the band, are too. I hope next album is, there's come a song called Ali, you know. Ali the Great.
Yes, Ali the Great, yes.
Ali the Great.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, so, gentlemen, here, coming out again, May 21st, what... I love to ask these questions when I don't follow a script ever, but I like to ask this question to bands. Is there a track on this album you think most reflects the band right now, that if you could say we're most proud of this track on the album?
Jacobo?
I think for me, it's Roberta.
Okay.
I think it's where the band's at, because it's funny, because it's like, for me, it's a coming full circle, because we started very melodic music, and then we on the second album we had more black metal influences, a bit darker. Then we went farther with that, but not as doom. It was a bit more up tempo, the music, and then we have the When Dead album. Then we have the Split album, which I think it's, even if they're one of the best songs we've done, they're not commercial, but they're more like headbangers, you know? And then we have When Dead, that is the darkest album that has, it still has the elements, but has nothing to do with the others. And then I think with Waters of Fate, we're going back to Temple of Guild somehow, but with different influences. So for me, Roberta is that song that all the albums in one.
Yeah, you have all the elements. Description. All the elements there, yeah.
What an excellent description. You know, it really shines through how much fun you guys have with this. Yeah, I have interviewed some artists, and it's clear for them that they're going through the motions and stuff. Even if they're not making any money off of it, and they're just doing it because they want to be in a band. But it's clear that you gentlemen both truly love to play your guys' music.
Totally, totally.
Yeah, it really shines through. So is there anything that you guys... yeah, I know, you know, the pandemic is still raging and stuff like that. Do we have any plans for the rest of the year at all? How are you guys planning to support this album?
We've talked about maybe a live stream or...
Yeah.
But we haven't really come to anything yet. I mean,
yeah,
it's weird. To be honest, it's weird.
Yeah,
you know, we want to play live and we want to present the album like we did the last one, but maybe we'll have to come to something.
You know, the thing is, you know, not
a listening party, maybe.
Yeah, you know, not to speak for you, but there's on YouTube, there's a live recording of one of your guys' shows you do on there. I think you did it at home last year in September or something.
It was September, yeah.
That was the one for the Moshfest.
Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
It was really cool, but there's something about Doom that you need that physical hit of the music hitting you. You need to be in the dark venue with you guys. You need the whole atmosphere. I'm not saying don't ever do anything, because if you guys want to support this, I go to the tallest mountain and support it. I'll be there watching. But it's really hard, I think, for your guys' music to really convey it accurately.
Yeah, in a live
live venue. Yeah, in a live stream.
And also. Before Ali telling you how he fell in that,
he
disappeared from the stage, but he'll tell you now.
Yeah,
that's the story.
That we did the live streaming. It was also pretty shitty to play in front of two audio engineers, one three camera guys, one girlfriend, and that was it.
Two girlfriends.
It didn't feel good.
It's kind of like that scene from I'm drawing a blank on the movie, but it's like Hello Cleveland, and you're there in an empty room.
yeah.
And you have to give 100% and you just can't.
I can understand that. You know what? I love hockey. There's been hockey players right now in some places are playing in empty venues. Same thing. They're like saying, you know, we feed off of the energy from the fans, and they're piping in fake crowd noise and mute. And it's like, yeah, it's something's missing. It's not the same thing.
No, but you know, there's something very interesting here. When we rehearsal the whole band, you know, we are in the room, and normally we play and we feel as if we were playing alive, you know. Sometimes Jacob turn off the lights and say, let's play this. We take off our shirts and we drink some beer and we play. And we play every rehearsal as we were alive, you know? So that helps when you have these kind of situations. So you can see that we are very in energy. We have the energy is there, you know? It helps.
Well, we have to mention you fell. What's your excuse? What happened? Did you trip over a monitor? Trying
to get away from it.
Well, it was things that could happen even on stage, you know. we are beginning the set and I didn't realize that on the back of me there was a little hole between the platforms, and I felt, you know, totally. And the band didn't stop playing.
That's right. You know what that shows? If you mess up, you can be replaced and they won't even miss you.
Well,
but you were still playing.
You were still playing, laying down?
Yeah. I never stopped playing there. Well, my guitar hit something and And it was it get untuned, a little bit untuned. So we played two songs a little bit untuned on one strings, but I never stopped playing. And Jaco was watching, looking at me, and having like this reaction, like, what do we have to do? Stop the show or what? I can say, no, we're not going to stop the show. And he just sing. I stand up, and actually the drum player didn't realize what happened. He was like that. But yeah, it so happens.
Any talk of you guys even slowing it down more? Like more like Funeral Doomy, like even really slow it down, like really, is that even in the cards maybe, or are you guys kind of like what you have now?
Oh yeah,
because I highly recommend anybody who's a Swallow the Sun fan, boom, needs to get into you guys here. Like Doom yeah. VS, you guys have
Doom VS is amazing. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I think we're in the. At least the latest album is between. It's not Funeral Doom, but it's a bit slower than traditional
yes.
Doom. It's in between. So
how about the clean vocals?
Oh, I can't sing. I suck at it. there's this in the Waters of Fate album. We had an extra track that was made with the keyboards and. That came in the European edition, and there's me singing clean parts. I think they're not bad, but I don't know. I mean, never say never, but I really sing bad. If you gotta sing clean, you gotta sing good, at least in tune, you know?
Yeah, we talk about you guys writing long songs. How about Swallow the Sun when they released their triple album? Yeah. My God, that's a lot of music.
Actually, I think that the year we played in the 70,000 tons of metal, each band plays twice.
Okay.
And Swallow the Sun was the only band, I think, ever that's played three times. And they played each set one of the CDs.
Did they really? That is awesome. Yeah. That so is awesome.
The acoustic, the electric, and the... Yeah, the other one was... Yeah. And the Funeral Doom one.
Yes.
So it was very interesting.
So how do you sit down when you guys decide to write your set list out? How do you do that now? You could easily do all four songs on the new album. Like
yeah, we talk about that. We make jokes about we're going to play Wendette and Roberta and Todd Soul the show, yeah. Right?
Yeah, yeah, we started to have this problem the last in the album before, because we would have this. For example, we played in a really big festival here in Mexico, and we have 35 minutes. So
yeah, 35 minutes.
What do we do? Okay,
what the hell do we do?
Two songs. You know, we would choose two songs, and now with the new album, I think it's even. Harder to pick up songs.
So you know what you do? You do your introductions between songs as you're playing. You don't stop. You roll it right in.
Yeah. Yeah. In the end, we won't gain that much time, you know? It's like, a hard one was Maryland Death Fest.
It was 30-minute show.
And we had a 30-minute show. I don't
know. Yeah. It was 30 minutes show.
We got permission to start a bit before to finish. Or we asked if we could finish 2-3 minutes later because we knew we wouldn't make it. And they said, yeah, it's fine. But when you're through, you
have to go. You have to get off.
And maybe it's funny because in Mexico, they tell you have 35 minutes and maybe you can go to 40, you know, 45 and it's okay. And maybe in the end, the last band plays at 2 a.m, which sucks. But... We know in festivals, you just can't do that. You have that time. You have to respect that time. You have to be there on time. And so I think we got a 2-minute permission from the Maryland.
Back home, is there a circle of bands you guys run with? Like, is there the same bands you guys play with? Is there a big scene of up-and-coming bands all the time? Or is it pretty much the bands that you guys are in your area?
I mean, we get along with many bands, but usually the shows are with different bands.
How about like national acts? How about like worldwide act? Where do you have to go? Let's say like Megadeth was touring. Where would you have to go to see them? Would you have to come to the States?
No. We have, there are many incredible shows in Mexico, underground shows and big band shows and big festivals. No, I even think that underground talking, we get better shows than in the States, for example.
Really?
I mean, yeah, I can, we just had, two years ago, we had Dead Congregation. We had, Masters Hammer. We had, Angel Corp. Well, Angel Corp is from the US, but I mean, we had Balser. What I'm trying to tell you is that it can be very normal. If the band sometimes goes to the States, they'll come to Mexico or vice versa, you know, but sometimes going to the States for getting the visa, the working permit visa, is a bit harder. So sometimes they just skip the States,
they skip to Mexico,
and they go all the way to Brazil and Argentina, you know. So we do have a lot of great shows and great great festivals.
Have you guys played down South America yet?
Boom.
Have you guys played down in South America yet? Brazil?
Not yet.
Huh. No,
we've been
close to Colombia, but nothing yet, but yeah, we would love to.
What's the scene like in Mexico right now? Is it a big thrash scene?
Mexico is a brutal country, music-wise, has always been. So I think there's a lot of death metal, a lot of black metal, some heavy metal, and few doom metal, really.
Yeah.
Like in most of Latin America, it's the thing is more on the wild side of on the brutal, bestial type of music. And there are great bands. There are really, really, really great bands in Mexico. I mean, you have the older ones, of course, like, you know, Cenotaph and Shubniwudat. And right now you have these amazing guys from, they're very young from my city. They're called Question. They're amazing. They have a type of Finnish death metal, demigod type of death metal. I don't know. They're really great bands in Mexico. The thing is, I don't know. I think a lot of people, even if we have the quality, not many people look south, you know, to really see what's going on.
Because it's, you know what, I could speak, you know, since I get a lot of PR emails and I talk with a lot of fans and cover a lot of reviews and stuff like that. It is something that your average fan, if they're searching bands, they're going to search Swedish metal bands, Finnish metal bands. You know, it doesn't come to mind. Oh, what does Mexico have for metal? You just don't associate the two.
Yeah, true.
It's just like, but you know, it's the same thing. Like I know a couple of them, but like you first wouldn't go to like, hey, how's the Canadian metal scene right now? Like I know there's a bunch of Canadian metal bands, but it's not something where you first go.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a good point there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's.
You ever tried your music with being done in Spanish, just out of curiosity?
No.
I'm just curious. No, I'm curious because it's interesting. Like Sabaton, Opeth, you know, they've released bands in Swedish and, you know, there's bands that do albums and, you know, like, you know, the Finnish black metal bands singing their own Finnish.
Yeah,
have you ever tried to, you know, Spanish at all?
Me personally, I don't know what Ali thinks, but I think that Spanish in metal doesn't really quite cut it for me. I don't know, Ali, what...
Yeah,
I don't know. The Opeth did it after 14 albums, you know. Maybe in the future we can make an edition.
Yeah, maybe a bonus track to try it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it depends on...
Yeah.
On
but,
other things,
but again, you talk about, you know, your market appeal worldwide, that is even possibly to some people even making it even smaller, maybe.
Or even big or more
or even bigger or even bigger or yeah. even bigger because of something different.
Yeah,
something,
yeah,
something completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe an experimentation would be interesting, but to become a Spanish-speaking band, singing band,
yeah,
I don't see it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, gentlemen, I tell you what, this has been one of the most enjoyable interviews I have ever had. I could talk to you guys for hours. I wish you guys nothing but the best success here when Aorta finally does come out. On May 21st. It's right around the corner. I wish people could listen to it. But Roberta is on platforms now that you can listen to. It's amazing.
Yeah, and we just
thanks, man.
We had a premiere on No Clean Singing last Friday for the second song, for a Dying Crown song. So yeah, if anyone's interested, you can surely see it in YouTube. Yes.
Go check that out then. No, on No Clean Singing for a Dying Crown. Guys, I'm telling you, you guys are a blast to talk to. I would love to talk to you guys again one day, Ali and Jacobo. You guys are a blast.
Yeah, we'll meet in Maryland sometime.
Oh, thanks to you, man. I promise you, I won't miss it again.
Okay.
I kicked myself in the ass for missing it. Well, I'll give you guys the floor for the final word here. Anything you guys want to say, where you want to direct people to go to or anything?
Well, not. Thanks for listening. Thanks for inviting us. We really appreciate your time and thank you. Thanks to all the people who listen to this.
Yeah. Thanks to you, Matt, for the support to the Nine Circles. And hopefully soon we get to do an important tour in the States, that we get to have many dates, and hopefully we hang out and grab a beer together.
I would love that, gentlemen. Guys, I tell everybody, but please continue to stay safe during these crazy times.
Yeah, you too, man.
Thank you for the time.
You too, man.